Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. For 50 years, COPS, Communities Organized for Public Service Metro Alliance, has been organizing in San Antonio, helping neighborhoods get their fair share of public services. It wasn't that long ago that a moderate amount of rain would flood some neighborhoods in the city, and there were no streetlights there, and a few sidewalks and curbs and spotty garbage pickup. Quality of life in these working-class neighborhoods, they were marred by deep systematic poverty that was tolerated by the people at City Hall because there was no one to hold their feet to the fire. These neighborhoods were also the dumping grounds for environmental hazards. It was only through community organizing and protest that things began to change. Now COPS Metro is taking on a new fight over public dollars, proposed possibly being used for two new sports facilities downtown. And we're talking about COPS celebrating 50 years, half a century, and fighting for the little guy in San Antonio. And we invite your phone calls. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you want to talk about COPS Metro, and if you were part of them, if you've seen them do what they do, we want to hear from you. We're joined by Raina Olden, Mike Phillips, and Josephine Lopez-Paul. They are leaders and organizers with COPS Metro. Welcome to The Source, all of y'all.
Thank you.
So, Raina Olden, tell me about, you know, what y'all are planning right now with the COPS Metro celebrating 50 years.
Hello, my name is Renee Olden. I'm with Macedonia Baptist Church. I'm a COPS Metro leader. So on December the 8th, we're going to launch our Jubilee year, celebrating 50 years of organizing for San Antonio. We're going to gather some 1,000 people at St. Mary's at 3 p.m.
And this is a celebration, or what are you doing?
Yes, absolutely, it's a celebration. It's a kickoff to a more robust celebration, but it's definitely a celebration. It's a celebration of our 50 years in the past, and we're going to look forward to 50 more years. We're going to talk about how we're going to organize for the next 50 years.
So, Mike Phillips, what are some of the things that you can point to, COPS can point to, as saying these are the changes that we've made? This is how COPS has made San Antonio more fair.
I'm Mike Phillips with First Unitarian Universalist Church and a leader with COPS Metro for about 30 years. So I've seen a lot of improvements to San Antonio that COPS Metro has brought about. Just fairness in across the city as far as infrastructure, not just a focus on the north side of town, but on lifting up the east, south, and west sides of town. But specific initiatives like Project Quest, our job training program, is really what I went through, is the helping to start that program. And it's now the most successful job training program that a city's ever invented.
Right, and it's been recently recognized by that. Josephine Lopez-Paul, can you talk about how COPS has changed San Antonio?
Well, I'm new to San Antonio. I've been an organizer here for about 3 years. But San Antonio was the first organization of the IAF in the Southwest and has become the model for now some 35 other organizations across our region. So it started a revolution in other here in San Antonio, changed the structure of the city, created access for normal people to be agents in their own neighborhoods, and then became a model for other cities and states across the country.
Right, and people are wondering now about organizing. There's a lot of talk about organizing, but not a lot of people know how to do it. And it's a lot of hard work that goes into organizing people and neighborhoods and communities in order to bring about change. We're going to be going through a tough period coming up here in coming years, and wondering, like, how do we protect what has been won so far? COPS Metro has been fighting for civil rights, community rights, protecting people from lack of services, as well as sometimes over policing and other issues. So how does COPS do that?
Well, we we identify and develop ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And so a democracy really depends on people participating at the very local level. And so for 50 years, the work that COPS Metro done is to identify and develop power, relational power in the city through institutions, developing grandmothers and mothers and firefighters and police officers, regular people that want to have a say in their community. And unfortunately, I think we put so much emphasis on elections, and there's some 1,000-plus days between now and the next election, and those days, frankly, are more important than the one we just voted in.
Right. And so, Renee, you want to?
Yeah. So when Josephine talks about developing grandmas, that's who I am. I'm a grandma. I've got three beautiful daughters, granddaughters, and I want to make a better world for them. You know, gun safety. My kids went through lockdowns for most of their school years, and I want a better opportunity for them, for my grandkids. And I didn't know how to do that. I found COPS Metro through my church, Macedonia. And once I started listening, my dear friend here, Mike Phillips, he started grooming me, taking me to meetings, making sure that I was on Zoom calls, and growing me into a leader. So now I know how to organize around gun violence, one of the things that we're organized around right now, or gun safety.
And so Mike Phillips, there's a lot of talk about these two downtown sports facilities, questions about whether or not public dollars will be used for them directly or indirectly, also the displacement of some people downtown who live at the Soapworks factory apartments. A lot of concerns, and they're seeing if this is in COPS Metro has come out asking questions and demanding that there be transparency in the process. So this could be a major fight for COPS Metro to make sure that these facilities are done in a way that do not damage the working class of San Antonio.
Yeah, you know, COPS Metro has always been about holding our government accountable at the local level, and we've always been concerned about public tax money being used for private development. We don't think they should be given private money, our tax dollars, to be used to grow their businesses. That should be up to the individual doing the development. So we got involved with the Soapworks folks because they weren't being listened to. And so with our help, they were able to get their voices heard. And that's part of the slow, patient work of organizing, is to listen to people. And the most radical thing we do is talk to each other, hear each other's concerns, and then come up with a strategy to organize.
Right, and also keeping an eye on what's happening at all factors of the city. So, I mean, part of the deal is going to a lot of meetings, you know, sitting through city meetings and keeping an eye on what's going on. You know, the average citizen can't really do that. And even the reporters now, we're stretched thin and we can't attend every meeting. But we know when you have an organization like COPS Metro, you can find things out that other people don't know. So, Josephine Lopez-Paul, can you talk about how COPS Metro keeps an eye on the city and the county and other agencies to make sure that it's doesn't sell out the little guy?
Well, we do that through organizing and institutions. And so we have a collective group of institutions who are from different parts of the city, different races, different classes. And those folks form relationships, and they're the watchdogs, right? And then we work together relationally then to address some of the larger systemic issues in the city. But it's the relationships and teaching people the local habits and practices of building relationships, doing local politics, and having enough local power to make changes. And they do that together.
Right. So how does someone get involved in COPS Metro?
Well, we organize through institutions, so you can't be an individual and be a member of the organization. You have to belong to an institution. Congregations, schools, nonprofits, unions are our typical members, and so folks come to us through these institutions, neighborhood groups as well.
Renea, so how did you know about COPS Metro before you got involved? Had you heard what they've been fighting for San Antonio for 50 years?
I did not. However, I belong to Macedonia Baptist Church, who has been a member of Metro, one of the split of COPS Metro before they joined.
So I remember in 50 years ago, there were basically two organizations.
Two organizations,
and then, you
right.
know, there was COPS and then there was Metro Alliance, and then they came together. That's what we call
Correct.
COPS Metro.
Correct.
Around the time that Project Quest was being put together, we kind of started working together more closely and became a single organization.
So my church has a ministry called Social Justice Ministry, and through Social Justice Ministry, that's how I became a COPS Metro leader, through my institution, which is how we organize through institutions. And so once I, you know, got to see the power, the collective power of institutions coming together to hold city officials accountable, you know, I was hooked. That's where I needed to be.
All right. We're going to take a 1 minute break here, and we come back, I want to dive in a little bit deeper about some of the concerns about the downtown redevelopment and these two sports stadiums and why COPS is keeping an eye on that. And our phone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this. Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. COPS Metro has been helping neglected communities in San Antonio organize around their own interest for the last 50 years, trying to make sure that the city brings libraries to these neighborhoods, fixed drainage systems, put senior centers and affordable housing around the city of San Antonio, make sure that there were curbs and sidewalks in some of these overlooked neighborhoods, putting parks where none existed before, fighting for that we have a living wage for many of the people who work for our public institutions, since we can't really reset the minimum wage, but there can be put pressure to make sure that local school districts and the city is paying a living wage to the people who work there. All sorts of work has been done and still needs to be done to make sure that San Antonio is a fair and equitable city. And you can bet that when that fight happens, when the meetings are held, when there's a protest, that COPS Metro is going to be right there in the middle of it. And if you got a question or a comment, you can give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And with us in the studio is Renea Olden, Mike Phillips, and Josephine Lopez-Paul. And the number again is 833-877-8255. So what are the concerns, Josephine Lopez-Paul, that has had about the possibility of the city putting resources into these two downtown sports facilities? We're hearing from city leaders not a lot of details, but a lot of promises that this is going to create jobs, this is going to raise revenue, it's going to be a good thing for the city of San Antonio. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's exceptional about COPS Metro is that we think like a grandparent. We think for generations, and we have a memory of the city. Now, I'm new to the city, but the city has a history of doing this, right, Mike?
Yes. Yes, it seems to repeat itself sometimes in a way that's unsettling, that they forget the mistakes they've made in the past and they keep marching towards another one.
Right. So some of those examples would be what, when they built the Alamo Dome?
The Alamo Dome is a good example.
They promised that it would bring opportunity and economic development to that part of San Antonio, and what we actually have is kind of a dead zone.
and none of it panned out. And again, they're repeating the pattern with the new AT&T center. It's
not so new AT&T center. Yeah. Now it's old hat.
Yeah.
And so nothing really happened with the promise to develop around the east side with the AT&T center and around the Joe Freeman Coliseum. It's basically a dead zone, you know.
It is.
And then now they're telling us, well, it'll be different this time. We're going to do Project Marvel. We're going to build this magnificent land bridge, which is kind of like a continent that stretches from one side of the highway to the other. They say that's going to be a link to the east side. So we're going to build a ballpark in this part of San Antonio, all downtown San Antonio. That's going to bring all sorts of good things to that part of San Antonio. But, you know, based on the history, what do you expect to see happen there, Josephine?
Well, I think Cox Metro has always stood firm on, no tax dollars used for private benefit, but also that it lead to living wage jobs. And so, you know, many of the jobs that are proposed are low paying jobs. This has been known, you know, historically, San Antonio has been known as a low wage city. And anything that perpetuates that, Cox Metro would be against.
So when the city says we're not going to put any dollars into these projects, this is all, you know, private dollars. We have nothing to do with it. But the city will be doing street work to supplement these new parks, these new ballparks. They're going to do a lot of work in order to facilitate this, and that's public dollars, right? So is that like an indirect use of public money for this private moneymaker?
Well, I'm going to ask Mike to speak to our human development agenda and what we'd like to see those $5 billion invested in.
Yeah, if Cops Metro had $5 billion to send, we'd send it right to the neighborhoods that need it the most.
And tell me more about that. Yeah, Renee.
We'd also invest in our Project Quest to prepare people for jobs that will bring them out of poverty. Project Quest has trained over 5,000 people and changed lives. That's what we'd spend that money on, changing lives, building communities.
Multi-generationally, too.
All right, well, then the Spurs say, well, you know, Austin wants us. We could just move to Austin. You know, if we don't build the Spurs a brand-new facility, they could go someplace else.
We have a sister organization in Austin, and we would... We would alert them if that was happening.
They're watching.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, these are, you know, our city leaders. People like the Spurs. They don't want to lose the Spurs. One of the best, you know, advertisers for the city of San Antonio. I mean, why not provide them what they need in order to be successful?
I think they need to pony up some of the funding for that, and most of it, actually. And they shouldn't be relying on the tax dollars of San Antonio for the sports team.
So these neighborhoods in San Antonio, these are legacy neighborhoods, have been around for hundreds of years because the city's so old, and they're neglected. Even today, they still have some of the issues that Cops fought for when it was first organized 50 years ago, about drainage, sidewalks, access to public services. So is that fight still going on?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Even with flooding, there's a neighborhood on the south side that just recently got some data from the federal government that they are in a floodplain, and there was plans afoot to demolish 150 houses. And now, because we've been working with them and organizing, the Thompson neighborhood is, they're going to find a solution so that the houses can remain.
All right, that's what organizing can do. Let's go to a caller. We have Kat on the line. And Kat, you're on the air.
Hey, David. Hello, everybody. Y'all are making the world a better place. Thank you. I have two concerns concerning this Project Marvel. The first one is pollution, light pollution, sound pollution, air pollution. I don't live far from one of the stadiums that they plan to build. And I just despise the thought of the light pollution, just the pollution that's going to happen. Not, okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is, again, the city does not tell us the truth. And in the past, what they've done with the hot tax, which is the hotel motel tax, which was originally created in the late 70s in Texas, in Houston, by a couple of people we all know, for the arts. It was created for the arts, for culture. It has been appropriated continuously by sports, by historical, but it was originally created for the arts. Our concern as artists is to leave the hot tax alone and to allow it to grow for the culture of the city, not for sports. And as artists understand, artists are concerned about sports because those guys are the bullies in our community.
All right, Kat, thank you for those comments. Appreciate that. So can you talk about how COPS Metro is also concerned about preserving the arts and local culture and what makes San Antonio San Antonio so it doesn't become just another cookie-cutter town?
Why don't you talk about all the music we'll have on December 8th and who's coming and how we put that together?
So you asked if we were going to have a celebration. Macedonia Baptist Church is going to provide some of the fine art on Sunday, and we're going to have a Sacred Heart that's also going to be there and provide music. We're going to have a mariachi band, 15-person mariachi band. We're going to celebrate on Sunday.
And so this is going to be Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Bill Greehy Arena at St. Mary's University. 1,000 people or leaders representing 32 institutions from across the city metro areas. Members of COPS Metro will attend this citywide action. And so will it be also a celebration and a rally? Will we all be like, you know, trying to clarify your message and your mission and providing direction, like where you're going from here?
I think it's laying the groundwork for the future work that we need to do in San Antonio. And with Macedonia's choir, that can only help lift the whole mood.
So what is the way forward? So right now the we're looking at what's going on with these sports arenas. Look, I mean, this is talk frank. These arenas, these things are going to happen. There's a lot of money and a lot of power behind this. But by having COPS Metro involved, I mean, they've already seen some changes made, like the people who are being displaced from the apartments, they're actually getting money to help them relocate. There's also efforts to help them relocate, so they're not having to bear such a big burden upon what is happening to them to no fault of their own. So, I mean, is really the fight trying to make sure that you keep public dollars out of the coffers for these projects and try to protect people who could be stepped on in this process? Josephina?
And to provide living wage.
Provide living wages. And anything else you want to say?
Just that we, you know, one of the things that continues to make COPS Metro successful is that the continuous development and growth and recruitment of institutions across this county. We're going to keep growing.
Any last words, Mike?
No, that's good.
Okay. All right. Well, COPS Metro, 50 years of making San Antonio a fairer city. The struggle is real and the struggle continues. That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
Has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.